A reading from Mark chapter 15. Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Joseph of Arimathea was a community leader. He was a member of the council, probably also a member of the Sanhedrin, which was kind of like a Jewish Supreme Court. Most of the disputes were handled in the temple court, but those that were unresolved went up to the Sanhedrin. Well, that makes Joseph very visible in the community. He's one of the leaders. And he would be placed among those leaders who sought Jesus' arrest and argued to have him convicted and pushed for his crucifixion, and were pleased that he was dead. So it wouldn't look very good for one of the Jewish leaders to be showing compassion to the dead Christ and going against the tide. Joseph took Jesus' body at great personal risk. From the Jews, the Sanhedrin had condemned Jesus as a blasphemer. Obviously, the Jewish leaders wanted Jesus dead, and they would see no need for another leader to bury him. But Joseph also was at great personal risk from the Romans. Jesus was executed as a criminal. Therefore, he was not worthy of a decent burial. That might take the edge off of crucifixion. But Joseph took courage and he asked for the body and he buries it. Why? Why a Jewish leader? Why not one from Jesus' family? Or why not some of the disciples? Joseph was looking for the kingdom of God. Now that's not unusual. Every Jewish kid would be looking for the kingdom of God. There is a prayer in the Jewish tradition called the Kaddish. And one of the petitions goes like this: May God let his kingdom rule in your lifetime and in the lifetime of the whole house of Israel speedily and soon. So all Jews were looking for the kingdom of God. But Joseph may have seen a different or new reality with respect to the kingdom of God, and maybe one that changes his understanding. Now, in Mark's gospel, when he talks about the kingdom of God, it is all tied up with the mission and work of Jesus. You might remember in Mark's gospel, Jesus' first sermon goes something like this: The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. But what does that mean, the kingdom of God is at hand? It's near, it's approaching, it's going to arrive in the future, it's already here? Well, maybe all of the above. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is here in the person of Jesus Christ. So looking for the kingdom of God, Joseph finds it in Jesus. And Jesus is dead. But Joseph believes that he deserves respect. And so he buries Jesus, and in this process of what happens on that Good Friday, An amazing truth becomes clear. And Luther puts it this way. He said, "Is this not a beautiful, glorious exchange by which Christ, who is completely innocent and holy, not only takes upon himself another's sin, that is, my sin in guilt, but also clothes and adorns me, who am nothing but sin, with his own innocence and purity? And then, besides, dies the shameful death of the cross for the sake of my sins, through which I have deserved death and condemnation, and grants to me his righteousness, in order that I might live with him eternally in glorious and unspeakable joy. Through this blessed exchange in which Christ changes places with us, and through nothing else, we are freed from sin and death and given his righteousness and life as our own." Now, did Joseph understand all of this? Probably not. After all, Jesus was dead, and that probably made things a little confusing, and not everything was making sense. Nevertheless, it does seem that Joseph concludes the other Jewish leaders are wrong. There's more to this man. He was not deserving of death. And now I will count him among the honored dead, because this Jesus came for me. And so Joseph takes the body of Jesus down from the cross. He wraps him in a linen shroud. He lays him in a tomb. He rolls a stone across the opening. And then, he waits. Now, maybe he knew that Jesus had predicted that he would rise from the dead. Heaven was his home. Ours the tomb where he lay. It's a profound turn of phrase. Our home should be that tomb for all of our offenses, for all of our shame. We deserve death and condemnation, but then the blessed exchange takes place, Christ for us, taking that home that should be ours, the tomb, and giving to us instead his home, heaven and eternity. Well, Joseph would be vindicated on the third day, as Jesus rose from the dead, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is the Messiah, that he did die for Joseph's sins, for Luther's sins, for our sins, for all sins. And that is love unknown. Though we should have been the ones in the tomb, Jesus takes our place and grants us forgiveness, salvation, heaven, and eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.